TalkingTrading.com.au is your weekly fix podcast of share market expert interviews. Our team of experts will help you make the right decisions about what, when, and where to trade. Let's get cracking.
Hi, I'm Caroline Stephen. Welcome to another show. It's terrific to have your company. Powerhouse economist and financial strategist Jonathan Barrett joins us today to talk about commodities. They're often people's favourite trading instrument, and with good reason. Find out the rules for trading them, the primary reasons why people like them, and some of their pitfalls. Jono tells us how to get a handle on these whippy instruments and why gold puts a smile on his face. Stick around, this interview is worth more than your ATR in gold. Hear what Dilbert's creator, Scott Adams, has written lately. Louise shares with us her latest Mind Power segment, One Thing a Week. And finally, we get the spouse's perspective on the mentor program with Robert Van Dorn. How he supported his partner Ruby through the program and the changes he noticed in her. And most importantly, if he's now a Ketman. But first up, here's the news of the week, starting 3rd of March, with guest Jonathan Barrett. Jono, what happened in the Aussie market this week?
Caroline, I think it's going to be quite interesting. I think when we look at what happened, particularly over the weekend, we're going to get a good sense of the drivers for this week. I guess at the top of the list is the unemployment numbers in the States. They were exceptionally positive numbers, a little bit higher than expectation. That gave an expectation that tapering's back on the table. But then over the weekend, we had some really mixed and negative data out of China. So that's going to put the spoils, I think, on any major gains, particularly this morning. In China, we had CPI and PPI and also trade balances. All those numbers were quite mixed, with the trade numbers actually quite alarmingly low for the exports. So we're still trying to work out what happens there. And out of China, we had some inflationary numbers there, the CPI and the PPI. Both those numbers were on the weak side, which gives us a sense of developing story that we haven't got price pressures. Now, that might spur the People's Bank of China to actually push some stimulus into the market. Too early to tell at the moment, but it's going to be a very interesting week, given that we've got good news in the States, bad news in China, so it'll be interesting to see how the markets open this morning.
How do you think the markets will react this week with the news?
Look, I think it's quite interesting because, for instance, our local market, that's on multi-month highs at the moment, 5,450. So from a technical perspective, we're actually at a double top. So we're really going to have to need some news to really push it through. So that's where I think it's interesting, because we are at a bifurcation point for the market. Will the regional news from China overshadow a push through, or will the good news from America help us push through? So I think the next couple of days will be a tell sign. If in fact we do fail to move on, then we probably could be in for a bit of a sell-off in the local markets.
Hot and cold sectors. Which were hot, which were cold?
Look, I think at the end of the day, I'd certainly be looking at more on the agricultural side. I still like that market there, given what is happening in Russia, what is also happening in Brazil. So the ag space I certainly like. When I certainly look at what's happening in the base metal markets, I certainly like the mining sector still, particularly that exposure to nickel. It will be quite interesting to see what happens BHP's sale of West Nickel, because nickel's on a nine-month high at the moment. So I guess I like the mineral sides, I like the ag sides. They're two sectors I'm going to be focusing on.
Any advice for traders this week?
Look, I think it's quite, entering new positions I think would be a little bit tough, where we have that potential for a double top. If I were going long, I'd really like to see that 5,450 broken, if that'll give me a signal that we're into a new and upper range. If it fails, I'd be very cautious about taking longs and might even take some profit off the table.
Great. Thanks for the market wrap.
Knowing which sector is hot and which is not is essential. Check out the hot and cold menu item on tradinggame.com.au for your free weekly fix.
And now Louisa's Mind Power segment.
Nobody tells traders who are beginners that for the first few years when you're trading, you're going to have a huge fire in your belly and you'll be all revved up. But in the beginning, your results will be somewhat of a disappointment to you. Look, the thing I want to tell you from the bottom of my heart is that every great trader has gone through what you're going through right now. Those great traders have suffered the creeping doubts, they've been worried they won't excel, and they've ripped their hair out because they felt so freaking frustrated that they weren't making the money that they felt they deserved. What people don't tell you is that the greats in this business have all been through a phase where they knew they weren't performing at the top of their game. They knew they were falling short. The thing I want you to know is that everyone goes through this. You aren't alone. What I want you to do is to do one thing each week that improves your trading. Maybe it's putting the finishing touches on one part of your trading plan, hunting down a successful trader who will act as a mentor, or even putting on another trade, even though you've just experienced 5 losses in a row. Find and do one thing this week. It's only by repetition and focus that your results will become as big as your ambitions. In my case, I took so long to work out this game. It took me a while and it will take you a while too, but it is within your power to do so. This game will only be won if you persist and chip away at it bit by bit. Don't let the results of your yesterday dictate your motivation for the future. Just take the next step and the next step and the next step. Trading success is closer than you think.
Jonathan Barrett joins us today to talk about commodities. These bellwethers of the markets are often people's favourite, and for good reason. Jonathan is a regular commentator and guest strategist on TV and radio, and he gives us some insider tips on these whippy instruments to fast-track your harvest. We're very fortunate to have him on the show today. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Caroline.
So what do traders like about trading and investing in commodities?
Caroline, it's an interesting market, an interesting breed of traders that actually trade in it. But I guess the primary reason that a lot of people like them, I guess, is the fact that commodities generally don't go to zero, where some shares do. A lot of the commodities are primary inputs too, to how economies function. So you can then see what's happening in the commodity, which might give you a lead of actually what's happening in an actual equity. So I guess there are probably 3 main reasons, I guess, why people like to trade commodities.
So what commodities have been in focus for you over the last month?
Over the last month we've had a lot of news, a lot of fundamental news out there, a lot of risk off and a lot of risk on trades. And when we talk about the risk on trades, we talk about gold or bullion, because that's a general store of value. So with a lot of those concerns, which are particularly happening overseas, obviously in the Balkans, a lot of people have moved into this commodity, and we're seeing quite a substantial price rise in it. And I think with gold, yeah, it's a pet of mine as well. Because I know
you like gold, don't you?
Always do. It's one of those wonderful things when you look at gold. It has that beautiful shine that just always puts a smile on your face. Whether it's jewellery or whether it's just bullion, it's just one of those commodities that I think still has a place in the investment world. But the good thing is that gold, its trends and consumption still remain very, very strong. And with those particular concerns we had in the Balkans, the appetite for people to trade into the metal is really high. So I guess a focus for me over the last month has been on gold. But I've also focused, on what we call the sweets, the coffees and the sugars, because we know that there are some fundamental shifts in weather patterns, which has suggested that we should have a look at those. And I guess the third one there is on the agricultural front is what's happening with the corn and the wheat markets, because they've had substantial falls over the last 6 months and we think they're ready to bottom.
What tips can you suggest for investors looking at these markets?
Yeah, look, I think that generally if people are new to trading commodities, I think there are some pretty good rules to follow. And I guess the first one is whenever you think you want to go into trade, have a look at it, go to sleep, then wake up the next day and then have a look at it. Again, you've got to do your homework on commodities. They move very quickly. I also suggest that people, when they do trade, if they have an idea of the position that they want, right, halve it and then halve it again. Always start with the lowest trade that you could possibly do.
More so than other instruments?
I think so, yeah, because, see, commodities are markets which can really move very quickly and they can be very whippy. So some people won't put stops in and that'll be to their detriment. But I find if you can manage the volatility by lowering the position size that you have, then you can weather a lot of the daily fluctuations. So I think that to me is the key, because in some commodities I have a mental stop, I don't have a physical stop, and I know when I'm wrong. And I think that's one of the keys. Know at that price, if the market trades, that your trade is wrong, and then take the necessary action.
So on that would probably be a pitfall that traders would fall into. Are there any others?
Oh, look, I think the pitfalls that traders, I think, for commodities is that they do fall in love with it. Remember, you with a commodity trade as opposed to an equity trade, you are part of that global village of traders. Everyone's sort of sifting through the news that everyone has at hand, whether it's weather-related, whether it's a mine issue, geopolitical concern. We're all part of a global village. And what you tend to find is that traders do, like with any other commodity, I guess they fall in love with it. And commodities are very hard to get yourself out of the rut if you fall in love with the trade, because they can move very, very quickly. And, of course, you can do your capital very quickly.
Do you have any positions at the moment, Jono?
Absolutely.
What have you got?
I wouldn't be a trader if I didn't have a position on. Look, I've always got long gold. That's something that I like to, but I do trade it. Gold at the moment, to me, I'm looking for that 1450 level over time, 1400 first. But at the moment, we're at an area where I think it'll break out, so I'm happy to run with it. Sugar, long sugar, purely based on the weather concerns over in South America and the previous weather concerns we had in India.
Let's talk about those weather concerns over in South America. How much has it affected the prices?
Absolutely. It's been dramatic. When you look at weather and commodities, they're exactly the same. 70% of the success of an actual farmer has to do with how the weather performs for him. And if you had an adverse effect on weather, like a drought, that will affect the commodity prices. And we have seen that. And this is, I think, one of the interesting things about trading in commodities, because the market reacts very quickly. We often say for coffee it's a man's market, mainly because coffee has no limits in its trading. It can go up 100% overnight if it wants to. And when you have weather events that cause drops in yields, it applies pressure on the global supply, and then obviously you get that push higher. And that's what we're seeing in Brazil at the moment, where we've had a squeeze on we had a drought, continuing dry weather. That's pushed a reduction in yield, and as that reduction in yield has seen the price move higher, and coffee in itself has moved significantly higher.
Okay, so back to your positions at the moment: gold, sugar.
Gold, sugar, and wheat and corn.
What are the reasons you invested in these markets?
Well, I guess gold is that fundamental one we've talked about. Sugar and coffee was that adverse weather and supply. Wheat is a similar story. But when you look about it, you just have to think wheat prices and corn prices have dropped 50%, over 50% in the last 6 months. What's that telling us? That people aren't consuming enough, or we've got too much supply? Probably tells us we've got too much supply. But eventually that will turn, okay, as we have more adverse weather events and more people consuming. So when you look at wheat and corn, perhaps it's a great example to say that commodities won't go to zero, But if one's had a 50% decline, there's a high chance that it'll probably start to pick up. And that's what we've seen over the last month, and we'll probably continue to see that over the coming months.
Jonathan Barrett, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Caroline.
Are you sick of being the smartest one at the dinner table? Tell your friends about the Talking Trading podcast and let them be smart too. TalkingTrading.com.au.
I like to con people, and I like to insult people. If you combine con and insult, you get consult. I'm here to consult you.
It sounds expensive and demeaning. Okay.
Ever heard of the Dilbert cartoons by Scott Adams? They're the top-selling business cartoon syndicate in the world, and they poke fun at the banalities of corporate life. Can you relate?
There. My resume is done. I will no longer be a slave to my company.
Yeah. Now you're a potential slave for a company in an undesirable location.
Was that sarcasm or supportiveness?
You only think there's a difference.
Scott Adams has written another book titled How to Fail at Almost Everything and Still Win Big. And it's Louise's Pick of the Week.
I've been reading a book by Scott Adams, How to Fail at Almost Everything and Still Win Big.
Good title, isn't it?
And he says kind of the story of my life. Now, Scott Adams, for those of you that haven't actually heard of Scott Adams, he is the artist and the author of Dilbert. Now, Dilbert is the top-selling business cartoon syndicate in the world. Now, they're beautiful. If you haven't looked up Dilbert on the Google box, you just have to go and have a look at some of his cartoons. They are from an engineering perspective and, you know, working in a well-lit cubicle where they basically feed you little pellets to keep you working. Now, Scott Adams has written this book. This is actually not a cartoon book the way he usually does. He actually has written it from the perspective of his life. And I have to say, I have come away from that book thinking he is one of life's great philosophers. This sort of stuff should be taught in schools. One of the things that I really loved about the book was his concept about goals versus systems. Now, his idea is that goal setting is really something that you shouldn't do, because a lot of the time if you don't get that goal, you feel disappointed and it's less likely to bring pleasure to your life. Now, one of the things with systems is if you follow a system, a la like a trading system, then you've actually got a good chance of excelling in your field. So a system, like for me with my situation with my health, is that I'm always looking to go to the gym 3 times a week, and that's my system, and what comes out the other end is a healthy body. So that's the type of thing that he's talking about. But when you relate it to trading, it's quite lovely to see that the people who follow their trading plan year in, year out, they're the ones who excel and who make the most money in the markets. The people who shoot from the hip, they really do not do well in the market. So I feel every trader should read this book by Scott Adams. I think it would be an asset to your library.
What's it like for your partner when you've taken control of your life and you're educating yourself in the mentor program? Well, we find out today with Robert Van Dorn, partner of Ruby Akbe. Robert stood by Ruby's side during the whole of the program, and we get his perspective on how it changed her.
I'm talking to Robert Van Dorn, spouse of Ruby.
Spouse of Ruby.
How did you find Ruby when she was doing the mentor program?
She loved the mentor program. She got into the mentor program, obviously, wholeheartedly. She was... When she was dying, I tried to support her as much as I could when she was doing the program.
Did she get in bad mood?
Yeah, when I kept her away from the computer, when I kept her from posting on the forum.
How did you support her?
By asking her a lot of questions about what was happening and try to get involved with her and, you know, try to... She always wanted to talk about what was happening, what she learned. So, yeah, just, you know, being there for her and, share it with her.
Have you seen her grow over the time?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, it's a big learning experience, and I think one of the key things that I've seen from her, from what she's learned out of the program, it's not just about how to make money. It's also like growing as well, because there's a large psychological aspect of the course. So I've definitely seen that as being a large part of the course.
Are you a cat man now?
I've always been a cat man.
Well, that's all we have for you today. I'd like to thank our contributors, Jonathan Barrett, Louise Bedford and Robert Van Dorn. Tune in next week to listen to trading coach Colin Simpson give an introduction to the world of FX trading. I'm Caroline Stephen, and on behalf of the team, thanks for your company. See you next time.
Talking Trading is brought to you by tradinggame.com.au. Make sure you're registered on tradinggame.com.au to receive your free 5-part e-course called The Share Market, Your Unfair Advantage. It'll give you exactly what you need so that you can trade confidently and safely with veteran traders Chris Tate and Louise Bedford by your side.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.